I've heard it said that politics and patriotism are two sides of the same coin. Citizenship is like currency. You get what you pay for. When we insist on getting something for nothing, we risk being cheated. Today, we find ourselves in a situation where many demand protection and benefits without obligation or service. Anything worth doing is hard. Good citizenship means doing your own homework, making up your own mind, and questioning authority when it's necessary. Don't kid yourself. They serve us, or we will serve them. Hello, I'm Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an AETS member podcast. For the benefit of those very playful computers over at the Department of Homeland Security, which may be scanning this file, I'd like to point out that this recording is made on Thursday, June 26th of 2008. For the next 10 minutes, I'd like to discuss a recent Supreme Court ruling, which has just been handed down here in the United States. By a 5-4 ruling, the court has held that the Washington, D.C. weapons ban is not constitutional. Now, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, perhaps a little history is in order. Washington, D.C. is our nation's capital. It's a very cramped and busy place. Those of you who've actually been there can attest to the fact that I'm actually being a little modest in my description here. In 1976, the City Council of Washington, D.C. passed an ordinance banning handguns. Second Amendment advocacy groups from the National Rifle Association on down have been contesting this measure in court ever since it finally got to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has decided that the measure is in fact unconstitutional. The language in their ruling states simply that the D.C. handgun ban goes against the Second Amendment. Now, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to know that this fight isn't over with yet. Gun control advocates are going to appeal the Supreme Court's decision through the lower federal courts. It's not unreasonable to say that this fight will be going on for at least another 10 years. Two things will have to happen before this thing can be put to rest once and for all. First and foremost, somebody's going to have to win a lawsuit in federal court, and they're going to have to use this Supreme Court decision as the basis for their argument. When that happens, the lower court will have no choice but to issue a decision which validates the Supreme Court's decision, and that in turn will cause the individual states to pass laws which will enshrine this new doctrine. Believe it or not, the pressure is now actually on the Second Amendment advocates to find the right test case so that they can launch their court challenge. This means that gun control advocates are going to have to redouble their efforts in the lower courts to make sure that anybody who does bring forward a lawsuit simply can't win on the basis of technicalities. And really all that means is they'll appeal their appeals, which will appeal their appeals. That's lawyer talk for saying that the gun control advocates will fight back. They'll use every trick available to them in the system. They'll unleash as many paper tigers as possible, which will include countersuits, and we all know how productive that is. The terrible truth about today's judicial system is that it's far too easy to just gum up the works. It's much harder to actually fight your case through, but it takes almost nothing. It's a paperwork exercise to simply bog down the system to the point where your action never goes to court, it never gets a hearing, and if it does, then you watch them like a hawk. You wait for somebody to make a mistake. Either they fudge some piece of paper or they failed to say something verbally, which was somehow required by a statute or otherwise necessary to procedure. Well, I guess the old saying is true that time really does fly when you're having fun. 2.5 years ago, I posted a technical paper on AboveTopSecret.com in which I discussed the future disarmament policies which would be engaged in by our own federal government, as well as the future demise of American militias. So, I know what you're thinking. Does this Supreme Court ruling say that Justin is wrong, or is there more to it? What you've got here in the guise of the Supreme Court ruling is a short-term temporary victory. Now, hold on, don't rush for the keyboard just yet. Give me a second to explain. In the 1960s and 70s, gun control advocates took some pretty hard lumps in the courts when they tried for a series of short-range victories. The Second Amendment advocacy defense for this was obviously to think long-term. Well, today, now the shoe is on the other foot. Beginning in the late 1980s through the early 1990s, gun control advocates decided that they too would think long-term. When the Clinton administration came to power and the political climate changed, they packed up all their stored up money, they went to Washington, D.C., they went to work as lobbyists, and they made a lot of things happen. If you look at the technical language in the Brady handgun bill and the federal assault weapons ban, you can see the nuts and bolts of the new anti-gun strategy. Gun control advocates realize that they don't have the constitutional authority to confiscate your guns. They can't make sale or ownership of these guns outright illegal. But, in the long run, they can make these guns so hard for you to buy and to keep that you just won't want to do it anymore. Now, if that sounds like a load of baloney, let me point out just three things. The American firearms industry is in a critical state of decline. Many of our best nationally known gun makers have been hounded out of business. And it's worth noting out that these witch hunts have been carried on with government blessing. Secondarily, gun store owners have also been targeted, and similar tactics have been used on them. They're so thoroughly regulated, permitted, and prohibited by law from so many things that it's virtually impossible for all but the most stubborn to stay in business. Third, and most damning of all, are the legal provisions found in the revised USA Patriot Act, which mandate, under certain conditions, if said conditions are met, that the federal government can crack down even harder on firearms ownership by claiming that it becomes a national security issue. Under those conditions, for your own good, you will be disarmed. It's ironic to me that this Supreme Court decision comes just before our 4th of July holiday. It makes me wonder what the Founding Fathers would think if they were to know that we were now in this position where, on the one hand, it looks like Second Amendment advocacy has achieved an important victory, but on the other hand, the realists among us have to temper our satisfaction with the knowledge that in 2009, it's altogether likely that the Democratic Party will take control of Congress and the White House. Under these conditions, the Republican Party is expected to be a very small minority in both houses. Unfortunately, the political climate will be just right for an entirely new round of gun control measures. We shouldn't expect any of these new gun control regulations to come at us as being plainly and obviously what they are. We should expect that they will be wrapped under the cover of anti-terrorism legislation, possibly even new law enforcement regs which are intended to combat gangs. In addition to this renewed effort to control firearms, you should also expect to see the agents of political correctness set forth a new agenda to smear and discredit honest and openly operated privately funded civilian militias. Now, I don't doubt for a second that as we go into the next decade, there will be, in fact, foreign-sponsored and domestically derived terrorist groups which attempt to hide in plain sight, masquerading as honest militias. But we need to be careful of this whole witch hunt thing, because as the government agents go rooting around for the terrorists, they're going to dislodge and disable a great many honest, patriotic organizations which are intended to be positive civic groups. It's altogether possible that the political climate in the next decade could be so highly charged that anybody who speaks out in favor of civilian militias will be branded as a seditionist or somehow anti-American. The reasoning could very well be, why are you resisting government help, if in fact you have nothing to hide? Don't get me wrong. As we go into this next decade, I'd like to see my country thrive and prosper. I would love to be altogether wrong about the future disarmament that I think we face. But for the time being, hey, got any questions, comments? Look me up. I am Justin Oldham, and you've been listening to an ATS member podcast.